So continuing with our story in John chapter 11 of the raising of Lazarus, we just come now to verses 5 to 7, which is what we're going to be focusing on in this reflection. So it reads as follows. Now Jesus was loving and continued in loyal appreciation of Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Even so, that he heard he continues being sick and weak, he then, indeed, remained 2 days within the place in which he was staying. Thereupon, after this, he is saying to his disciples, "We should proceed going to Judea again." So again, just by way of reminder, we're dealing here with interior processes that have to do with the regeneration of the human mind, and that's what the word always is dealing with so far as its interior sense or internal meaning is concerned. So reading from a process perspective, so what we see here is that there is a need to bring what is unknown regarding the word's operation within the human mind to consciousness. Now in that process, the Lord and his work with the human soul or the psyche may, from at least our perspective, tarry or not seem to move quickly enough for our liking. Of course, his work has nothing to do with our agenda or our time frames, and that's what this tarrying in the story here illustrates. The deeper psychological meaning is that for soul work to progress, all things must find an optimal arrangement, and all activity or non-activity, so far as divine operations are concerned, is a fully conscious act in view of the end, which is the regeneration of the human mind. So every divinely conscious act looks to bringing about healing and wholeness where there is wounding and brokenness in spirit. The Lord's apparent lack of urgency by human evaluation is precisely what's needed that a glorious end might be realized. The Lord's love for all is palpably expressed in the text's declaration in verse 5, where it states that Jesus was loving and continued in loyal appreciation of Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. But by Martha, her sister, and Lazarus, we are not to understand the Lord's affections for particular individuals. What we have here is an objective love that it goes beyond any particular individual and is focused universally on aspects within the human mind, within every human mind or every human soul, to which the Lord's love is continually directed by means of an inward way. So by Martha, her sister, and Lazarus are understood psychological structures, not individual persons, at least from a logopraxis perspective. They represent those faculties or psychic structures that are open to receiving the Lord's influx of life into the more exterior plane of the human mind. It is a mark of a truly objective state of consciousness that can hold off from acting under immense interior and exterior pressures that are demanding a response. And it does that to ensure that all things are that need to align, do in fact align, so that that end which is preeminently in view, so far as the Lord is concerned, is able to be manifest, that the end in view from a limited finite perspective is often invisible, but here represented by the Lord as the word working within the mind, we have a higher degree of consciousness than can ever be accessed by any human capability, and that this consciousness works to an end which shall be fulfilled, and that end was described in the last talk as being God's Son glorified, or the salvation of the human race. Now, the key to understanding what's happening in these three verses is found in verse 6, where despite Lazarus's condition, the Lord is said to have remained a further 2 days. And this remaining in place is a consolidation of the presenting state, the mental state or the psychological state in us all. It's helpful to remember that the only thing that ever prevents the Lord's movement toward the human mind's regeneration are the structures of the mind itself. It is not that the Lord won't move, it is that he can't without causing harm to the soul that is being regenerated. Love would move the process forward in a moment, but wisdom maintains all that is necessary for the end to be reached so that the regenerating mind is not swamped by more than it can handle of the divine love. So we read that there is a need for the Lord to remain in place. And psychologically or spiritually, this means that it's a state of mind that must be maintained until all the elements within that state are aligned in such a way that things can move forward. Now, what's going on here is, or what is need of being aligned, states of belief and the affections associated with those beliefs. These are the preeminent aspects of the psyche that need working on if the Lord is to move the state forward. So all things have to be suitably arranged before a new state represented by the movement through space and time to where Lazarus is can be enacted. So the key here is the use of the number 2 expressed in terms of the Lord remaining 2 days. Now the number 2 is a significant number. It symbolically represents the relationship of one thing to another, and so symbolizes the nature of a relational connection. It specifically describes the link whereby two become one when they are seen together. So it carries the idea of a marriage or a unity of things being established. So before a new state of seeing the power of the word manifest, there has to be this preliminary aspect of waiting or remaining 2 days. And that state has to do with things of the mind that have to be brought into alignment. And once those things are in alignment, then and only then can there be an interior movement initiated, as is captured in verse 7. Thereupon, after this, he is saying to his disciples, "We should proceed going into Judea again." So perhaps just drawing this back to a few logopraxis principles now. So just a reminder that the names used of the Lord in a passage are significant, and the name Jesus here has to do with the Lord's desire for the salvation of the human race, and so captures the idea of the word working within the human mind to bring that mind into a form whereby the Lord's love can be more fully expressed through it. So one of the key ideas that is perhaps expressed here has to do with the need to lay aside our own agenda. And this is captured in the delay or the Lord tarrying to attend to the situation with regard to Lazarus. Often when we are working with the text, it doesn't address what we think it needs to address. A portion of the text reaches out to us of which we can't perhaps see its application, particularly in the light of what we feel it is that needs to be worked with. And there is this delaying that takes place until we can come into an alignment, taking hold of what it is the Lord wants us to work with from out of the text. And it's only as we come to terms with giving ourselves over to the authority of the text, to that which is reaching out to us in a logopraxis context, that things can then perhaps begin to move forward. I mean, the thing to hold in mind is that the Lord is never late. His timing is always perfect. So we're admonished then to wait on the Lord. And that is no easy thing to do, particularly when we are confronted with states that are perhaps difficult to cope with. But we can't rush things in this work, and we can't make things happen. In Logopraxis, we have that aphorism which states that no effort on our part can make anything happen, but without effort, nothing can actually happen. So really, we are to do what we are given to do. And in this work, what we're given to do is what we're offered to work with from the Word.